2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, which you'll find on page 1162, 2 Corinthians 5, and our reading starts at verse 16, and Cora's going to come and read that to us.
Right, I think you can hear me. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Chapter 6, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you now is the time of God's favor. Now is a day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Amen.
Thank you, Cora. Good morning, everyone. Let me add my welcome to that of Nathan's. I'm Tim, also one of the pastors here. At its heart, the Bible is one big story of salvation. And on Sunday mornings, we've started to explore that salvation. And to help us, we've been considering it as like a diamond. As I hold up this diamond, there's much to admire, even though it's fake. As we turn it round, there are different angles for us to see in order to appreciate its beauty. And just like that, we've been holding up, as it were, the diamond of salvation on Sunday mornings, to turn it round, to explore its depths and the weight of its beauty. Our prayerful aim is that in Jesus, whose name means the Lord saves, that some of you here might come to take hold of this diamond, might come and take hold of the salvation that is in our Lord Jesus. And for those of us who are already trusting and following the Lord Jesus, our hope and our prayer is that this series might deepen our understanding of the salvation that we have, that we enjoy, and that it might better equip us to be those who speak of this salvation to others. So that is our prayerful aim. And so far we've considered, I don't know if you've got the bookmark at home, if you're using that in all the books we're promoting, or you've seen this up the front, we've explored forgiveness and justification. And if you've missed those, you can catch up online. But this morning, our subject, our topic is reconciliation. So let me pray. Let me ask for God's help as we do that together. Let me pray. Now, Father in heaven, today as we consider another side of the salvation that you offer to all in Christ, please reveal our sinfulness that we might grab hold of the Savior. Please cause our hearts to rejoice in your salvation, that we might leave here singing your praises. Help us, we pray. Please speak to us now, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a man who had two sons. And the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So his father divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything he had, there was a severe famine that came through the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who said, "Go to my fields and feed my pigs." He longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said to himself, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am, starving to death? I will go to my father and say, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and he went to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he had compassion on him. And he ran to meet him and he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. The son said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father turned to his servant and said, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf, kill it. Let's feast, let's celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." They began to celebrate. Reconciliation is a beautiful thing, isn't it? As we spin the diamond of salvation to another side, that's what we're going to consider this morning. Let our eyes catch hold of the reconciliation that God offers. The joy of restored relationship. The journey from separation to friendship. From hostility to harmony, the making of peace, that is reconciliation. I don't know if you've tasted that in your life, but it's a beautiful thing. And it's something the Bible says that all of us here in this room, all of us in our world need. Because when it comes to our relationship with God, we are at a distance. We are separated. Like the younger son in that parable that Jesus told, we are guilty of taking all that God has given and using it for our own pleasure, living life for ourselves, living life as if God doesn't exist, so often squandering the good gifts that God gives us on temporary pleasure that offers much, but only delivers emptiness. And that is the story of our world, friends, isn't it? In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth, and all that he made was good. And he made humanity to enjoy relationship with him. He walked in the cool of the garden, while Adam and Eve embraced the abundance of creation. And yet one day, they disobeyed God. They grabbed for his throne. They warred against God. And one of the consequences of that treason was banishment from the presence of God and from the garden that he had provided. And friends, that's where we're still today. That is our world. We are outside of the garden, outside the warmth of God's presence. Still at war with God, our sins remaining, his anger upon us. We are in desperate need of reconciliation, of restored relationship with our Creator. And so the question is, well, how can that be done? What can be done so that, like the younger son, we can feel the embrace and the affection of the Father that we've deeply offended? Well, take three. The Bible gives us the answer. It is to be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. If you put your Bible down, please pick it up and look with me at our reading. We're going to spend most of our time in verses 18 to 20. Let me read those again for us and just enjoy these verses as I read it. Verse 18. "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Now, here's the amazing thing I want you to notice about that phrase. You see, to be reconciled to God is not a call on us to try and make amends. Yes, it includes repentance, that turning away from sin and turning back to our Heavenly Father. And even that, the Bible says, is a gift from God. But it's not like we need to, try and restore the broken relationship ourselves. You know, let's just try and be good people. Let's go to church twice a week. Let's read our Bibles all the time. You know, like we could be so like that younger son in the story, can't we? Just, well, I've got this plan. I'm going to confess, and then what I'll do is I'll just offer myself out as a servant, and then that'll kind of make amends for all those years of hurt. But no, to be reconciled to God is to accept the reconciliation that God alone provides. It's all God's work. That's what Paul really emphasizes in these verses. Verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Though we have wronged God, it is he who initiates peace. Now we've got to get our heads around that. That is spectacular. That is radical. That is out of this world love and kindness. So just to get our heads around that, I want you to imagine that this week you offend Nathan. Sorry, brother. You offend Nathan. Not all of you collective. Don't gang up. But just individually, you offend Nathan. Perhaps he catches you eating out of his snack drawer, which would be a bad idea because he's gluten-free, so you'd probably regret it. But just go along with it. Afterwards, you feel really bad. What was I doing? I've got snacks at home. Why are you doing that? And so you try to make amends. You replace the snacks that you took, and you offer a heartfelt apology. And that would be a good thing if you did that. I'm not saying that's a wrong thing to do. That's a good thing to do. But here's the point. In our world, the onus is on the sinner to make amends. The onus is on the one who's at fault to put the relationship right. That's what I want to say, that's probably why there's so many religions in our world, because religion tells you just do this, and then you can reconcile yourself to God. You can earn salvation. But when the Bible talks about reconciliation with God, though we are the ones who have angered him and damaged the relationship, it is God who initiates the peace. The call to be reconciled to God is not a call to put the relationship right. It is not a call to work for it. It is firstly a call to accept the reconciliation that God offers to us in Christ. Look at verse 18. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Reconciliation, this bridging of the gap, this restored relationship is only possible in Christ and through his work on the cross. Look how verse 21 describes Jesus' work at the cross. Verse 21, God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Lots of you know, but in the Old Testament, all sinners would find an unblemished animal, normally a lamb or a goat. They would put they'd place their hand on the animal and confess their sins, which is kind of symbolically transferring or imputing their sins to the animal. And then the animal would be put to death because it was bearing the sin. And death is the penalty for sin. So the animal would die in the place of the sinner. And then the sinner was declared righteous before God, reconciled in his sight. And the Bible, verse 21 says, well, Jesus is the one that took on sin. He's the perfect Lamb of God who bore our sins at the cross so that he would die the death that we deserve. So he could experience the eternal separation we deserve for our sins. Jesus endured on the cross the wrath of God, so that all who cry out for him for salvation might be offered the hand of peace and taste the joy of reconciliation. It is only in Jesus that our sins no longer count against us, And so we are righteous in God's sight. It is in the person and work of Jesus that God does everything needed in order to make reconciliation possible. All we need to do is accept it. To be reconciled to God is to accept his offer of friendship in Christ. Without Jesus, we remain separated from God, his wrath still hanging over us. With Jesus, in Christ, we are reconciled to God, that relationship restored, our wrath and our sins removed as far as the east is from the west. After Jesus died on the cross, his disciples hid together in fear. But when he appeared to his disciples after the resurrection, John records three times Jesus' words to them, which were, "Peace be with you. Peace with God. The war is over. The separation is over." Like the father who embraced the younger son and lavished him with fine clothing and treatment, so too God in Christ lavishes his people with the righteousness and assurances in Christ. This peace is ours in Christ. Do you know that peace? That's what I want to ask for some of you this morning. Do you know this peace? Are you reconciled to God through Christ? For lots of us who would say, yes, I've taken hold of this reconciliation in Christ. Well, will your hearts rejoice afresh in the reconciliation that we have in him? Be reconciled to God. That is the first thing that we need to see from our passage. Be reconciled to God. But for those who have been reconciled, this is not the end of the journey, for there is a calling and there is a privilege that comes with being reconciled to God in Christ. And it is a call to be reconcilers for God. So if you've been reconciled to God, if you have this restored relationship with him, actually there's a call upon us to be reconcilers for God. Look at verse 18 to 20 again. "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Do you see it again and again in the passage? Verse 18, Paul calls it the ministry of reconciliation. In verse 19, Paul calls it ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, Paul calls it the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, Paul says, the reconciled, that is all Christians, you are Christ's ambassadors. So if you're a Christian here this morning, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus, you are Christ's ambassador. You're an ambassador for Jesus. Now, in case if you're kind of not familiar with the term, an ambassador is a representative for his or her country in a foreign country. And as Christians, we are representatives of Jesus in heaven while we live as foreigners in this world. And as ambassadors, I want to highlight kind of two key responsibilities. The first is to live out reconciliation. We've enjoyed reconciliation with God. Actually, we are to live it out amongst one another. And the second is to pass on the message of reconciliation. So let's consider both. The first is we're to live out reconciliation. As those who have been reconciled with God, the Bible tells us that we are reconciled with one another. That's why in our passage, Paul uses the plural. He says, look, we've been reconciled. It's us. He's reconciled us to God. It's not just a me and God thing. It's us. It's a together. It's a church family. We've been reconciled to God. So how odd then would it be if we've been reconciled to God that we live as enemies with one another? That'd be an odd thing, wouldn't it? And to help us consider these words, I just want to read from Ephesians chapter 2. You can turn there if you like. It's on page 1174. I'm going to read a little chunk. Just enjoy this. Because it talks much again about the reconciliation we have with God, but also with one another. So I'm going to read from chapter 2, verse 12. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he came to death, by which he put to death the hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. We could keep going, but I'm going to stop there. But do you see it? In Christ, we are reconciled to God, but we are also reconciled to one another. And so we are called to live this out in the world, to model this to our world. That as our world looks on at the church, as our relationships, as we fight for reconciliation when things go wrong, they might come to know the reconciliation that God offers in Christ. Let me ask, for those of us trusting the Lord Jesus, as far as it depends on you, are you at peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Is there anyone here today or known to you that you need to be reconciled to? I know in our broken worlds, relationships can be messy. These can be really difficult things. But that's the call of the scriptures. Jesus says in Matthew 5, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them and then offer your gift. As ambassadors for Christ, we are to live this out. We're reconciled with God. We are to live lives that are reconciled with one another as far as that is possible. That's the first thing ambassadors of Christ do. We live this out. Secondly, we're to pass the message of reconciliation on. And to be clear, you know, what is this message we're to share? Well, very simply, it's point one. Be reconciled to God. It's in verse 20, isn't it? We employ on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. That is the message that we are to carry in our world. Now, ambassadors, if you think of an ambassador in our world, they are given messages to pass on. They're not allowed to change the message. That'd be a bit odd, wouldn't it? If the king kind of queen instructed an ambassador of another country, this is the message you need to share. It'd be odd, wouldn't it, if they're not allowed to change it. They're just there representing the king or the queen. As an ambassador, they are to declare what the message is. They're not allowed to change it. They're not allowed to decide whether they should share it or not. They are simply given the responsibility and the privilege of declaring the message of their leader. Now, as we come to think about sharing the message of reconciliation, let's be honest. Even though we can say, yeah, we want to rejoice in this beautiful picture of salvation, this reconciliation, this message we have, it is a beautiful message to pass on, isn't it? And yet we find it so hard, don't we? This morning, this is probably not new stuff to most of us sitting in this room, that we are carriers of the gospel, carriers of the message of reconciliation to a broken world. And yet we find it hard. Are you passing on this incredible message of reconciliation? When was the last time you took a risk in a conversation to talk about the hope that you have in Jesus? When was the last time the hope of a life restored to God outweighed the fear of rejection or an awkward silence? Now, many of you would recognize the name Rico Tice. He works at All Souls and is the face of Christianity Explored, if you've seen the videos. But he shares this really cutting story of what he learned about his love or lack of love for a rugby teammate when he was growing up. He says this: I'd given a guy in the rugby team a recording of a sermon I'd preached. It was on John 1, verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I remember that in the sermon I simply and starkly said that either we pay for our sin in hell or the Lamb pays for it on the cross. This friend called Ed played my sermon one night to his housemates, who were in the same rugby team as us. And one of them, Dave, got very upset. He said, if that's what Rico believes, the fact he said nothing of it to me in months means he's not really my friend. So Ed rang me up and said, Rico, you need to speak to Dave. He's upset that you've not talked to him till now about what's in the sermon. And then on reflection, this is what Rico says. He says, if I'd really loved him, I'd have warned him about hell, shown him the cross, and invited him to trust Jesus and spend eternity with him in the new creation. It was a life-changing phone call. I found myself praying that I wouldn't only have a sense of God's love for me, but that I would have that same love for others, that I would love them enough to risk rejection in order to speak to them about Jesus and warn them about hell. Does that sound familiar? Who's your Dave, if I'm putting it like that? Are there those that you hang with and you think, well, maybe they don't quite know what I believe. They haven't heard the message of reconciliation. See, in the busyness of now, in our culture, our lives are so busy, aren't they? It's so easy to just miss the obvious. To stand back and consider life and to consider friendship from the viewpoint of eternity, that those who have been reconciled to God are made reconcilers for God. If you're trusting Jesus, you have a message to share. And it's good news. Don't forget that. This is the best news in the world. That God cares enough about you and me and your friends and our world to offer reconciliation to all who would come to him in Christ, who would take this free gift that he offers out to our broken world. It's the thing that your friends most need. It's the thing that your friends most want, whether they realize it or not. And so as you head out this week to work or for one more week of school or to the shops or wherever you go this week, you are Christ's ambassadors. You carry a message. And we share the gospel, confident that God does reconcile people. That as we share the news, be reconciled to God. That is, there is hope of a relationship with him. That God works, God moves, he changes lives, and he takes all the glory. We've spun the diamond of salvation once more and caught sight, I hope, of just the beauty of reconciliation, of restored relationship. The journey from separation to friendship, from hostility to harmony, the making of peace, the fatherly embrace of a forgiven son. This is another image the Bible gives for our salvation. For the Bible says we all need to be reconciled to God, and for all those that have been reconciled, we are called to be reconcilers for God, announcing this peace that is available to all who would trust in Christ. The Bible starts with humanity kicked out of the garden, banished, separated from God. Do you know how the Bible ends? The Bible story ends back in the garden. All those who have taken God's free offer of reconciliation in Christ are back in the garden. God dwelling once more with his people for all eternity. That is our great hope in Christ. That is the message we take out this week to those that we're put amongst, those that we rub shoulders with. So friends, will we do that this week? Will we rejoice once more in this reconciliation God gives us in Christ? And will we take it to a world that desperately needs to hear it? Let me pray, and then we're going to respond in song. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, it has done us good again to spin the diamond of salvation, to consider once more another beautiful picture of salvation that you offer in Christ. Lord, thank you that in Jesus you have reconciled us. You have restored the relationship that we have broken by our sinfulness and pride. Lord, please this week, for those that have been reconciled to you through Jesus, Lord, help us. Help us to be good ambassadors. Help us to carry this message. Lord, give us boldness and courage to speak. Lord, help us not to be selfish with this message and keep it to ourselves, but to announce it to all that we know. Lord, give us strength and help. We find it so difficult, particularly with those we know best, perhaps those in our families. Lord, please give us fresh windows. Give us eternal eyes to see people's desperate need and the solution in Christ. Lord, would we see many of our friends and our family in this community be reconciled to you in the coming weeks and months as we boldly step out in faith and share the good news of Jesus. Be reconciled to God. Please use us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to continue responding to a song, we're going to stand and sing a song hopefully appropriate to what we've just been considering. Jesus saves. It's the message we're to take to our world. It's the message that we can once again delight in and rejoice in this morning. Let's stand and sing, "We have heard a joyful sound. Jesus saves."